We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool in the rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah, two sides of the same.
Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the convo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.
Random thought.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm forced to be a bug on a windshield because the person sitting next to me is in need of a seatbelt extender and I'm not traveling with that person, I need a refund.
No, that's crazy.
Okay, some sort of compensation?
It's your free drink coupon.
This is why we don't put you in charge of flights. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been elsewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
And crazy responses like he just gave. Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Random Thoughts, episode 24. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, this is something that I was traveling over the holidays, and I've gotten used to, and I understand now, sort of, why you like Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
You get to pick where you sit.
Right. For now.
I was on an assigned. Yes. This is so bad. I can't believe I'm actually going to be mad at them for changing this. But I was on another airline which has assigned mm-hmm. seating.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking down and going down. Yes, I got my window seat. I got my window. Is that man sitting next to 10, 11, 12? Damn it. And I knew immediately this was going to be a problem. And the minute I sat down and he sat back down next to me, I knew it was going to be an even bigger problem. Luckily, I had the window seat, but I was pressed up against the windshield, man.
Mm.
Pressed up against the window. Why? Because he was over in my seat as well. And I'm just saying, maybe I don't need the full refund, but can I get some kind of compensation?
Well, hold on. Is it a big guy or, because I don't want us to go down a fat shaming route. If that's
No. I would have said a fat guy. If it was a fat guy, I would have said a fat guy. It wasn't. He was just big.
He wasn't,
because I get it. When you say something like that, I know the vision that comes in my head and I already know what he looked like. And it's not what I saw.
Yeah.
So I can understand. Thank you for at least doing that to clear it up for everybody else. We already lost one person for you calling somebody a simp. We don't need to lose them because they think I'm fat shaming. Because I'm not. I'm just saying. But he was big. He wasn't. And this, I'm not talking about just overweight people because you have overly muscular people. I don't want to sit next to Batista.
Yeah.
I've seen him sitting on the beach and he looked like he was like 150 feet away from me. Looked like he was 5 feet away from me.
Yeah.
I still couldn't see around him from that far. That's a big man. I wouldn't want to sit next to him on a flight.
True. But what if it's a cold flight and you don't have a blanket? You just kind of cuddle up.
To be fair, this man at least was, you know, he had taken a shower and he had on some, he wasn't overly on the smell good, so it wasn't overpowering. I didn't pass out from the cologne like some people like to do sometimes. Yeah. But no, I'm not snuggling up against a stranger and no man at all, okay?
Well, see, this is the beauty of what Southwest had, where you can move seats. Because I've been traveling Southwest for over decades and I loved it because I can go and see somebody about to sit next to me. I'm like, nope. Oh, you got a little baby with you? Nope. I'm going to get up and I'll move and let them have that.
Wait, you would actually get up out of your seat even though you were there first?
Yeah. I'd rather move than because I don't want to tell them to go sit someplace else.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Y'all want this seat? Let me get out and I'll go do something else, right? But you can at least move around. In your situation, because it was assigned seating, you were stuck. And like literally stuck.
Literally.
Yeah, literally stuck, which is unfortunate. But I mean, what are large guys supposed to do? Guys and gals, right? Let's say they are, you know, bodybuilder size, they're just big people, not so much overweight people, but just big people. What should they do? Should they have to buy two seats?
No, they don't have to do that. They can buy first class. Those seats are bigger. And they come with better amenities. Now, I mean, okay, I think it'd be a little unfair to charge somebody double, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 1.5? I mean, you are taking up 1.5 seats.
Well, I don't think it's unfair because they do that for people that are, I think the rule is if you can't fit comfortably between the armrests while they're down, mm-hmm. then you have to buy an extra seat. Mm-hmm. That's what the other airlines do. So it's not wrong to say you got to buy two seats.
Right. So, you know, it's interesting because you said about the armrest, because I went in and like, why is that armrest up? No, this thing coming down. You ain't rolling up on me, damn it. He was a nice guy too, man. Nice guy. And almost felt bad when I was like, hey, excuse me, bruh, I need to go to the bathroom. Actually, I felt bad for the people in front because he grabbed their seat and pulled back to get up.
I hate when people do it. That's why I like aisle seats. But I hate to be sitting there comfortably, all of a sudden the person behind you uses the headrest to pull themselves up. That's what the armrests are for you to do this. That just pisses me off when people do that. Because you can be relaxed. You might even be asleep. All of a sudden.
Okay, that being said, somebody doing that or somebody's little kid behind you just kicking your chair?
I haven't had a little kid kick my chair.
You lucky bastard.
Yeah, I haven't had it. No, because I'll do the turnaround, but I'll like look at the kid. I'm going to look at the parent and be like, hey.
You see this little rug rat? Do you want me to do your job for you?
Do you want me to spank him or you got this? Or am I going to hit you? Somebody's about to get popped. Tell me who it is.
Tell me which one you prefer. Him or you? But, you know, it's funny that we're actually talking about this because I told you about this the other day and then I'll be damned if not this thing popped up today. Southwest, your airline, which is actually changing. And I know this is probably going to hurt people's feelings. It's actually going to hurt mine that Southwest is changing to assigned seating because there's nothing better than flying standby on an airline like Southwest because you know me. I'm like, if I'm coming on late on the plane and I know there's nothing but middle seats, I'm sitting as close to the front as I can. And everybody's trying not to make eye contact. And I love looking at the person that I know you don't want me sitting there, but both of y'all are skinny. I want that seat. The look on their face is so satisfying.
I was on one flight. This one guy, I had the window seat. He had the aisle seat. He was kind of bigger guy. He's like, look, we got to make sure we get the right person to sit in the middle. And I was
That's what I'm talking about.
No, but here's what he did. He identified this girl that was kind of petite. He just stood up and was like, hey, do you want this one? I was like, that's pretty smart. Pretty smart.
See, that's a seasoned traveler right there.
Yeah.
Now, Southwest is not only making that change, they've got a new policy that's going in for plus size passengers, right? Or extra seat passengers, as they're calling them, you know? Because still, we're not talking about fat. We're talking about big. Which could be muscles. It could be spending the time in the gym. Scott Steiner, when he was at his peak, you wouldn't want to sit next to that guy, promise you. But
I'm talking about all. I mean, it's bigger folks. I mean, it's okay. It's not. I get you're walking the line. I totally get it. But it's okay to say for people that might be obese and need more than one seat and might not be able to fit within the armrest while they're down. It's okay to say it like that. That's better.
Okay. Now, they haven't said, I don't know if the policy in the extra seat policy, is it a full extra seat or do you pay a half price for that already? Is there a difference?
Full extra seat.
Wow. Okay. See, that I don't agree with, but I understand because they're going by what you can make and what you can't make, right? Because if you're taking that seat, I can't sell it to somebody else.
Yeah.
But now the current thing is you can do it. And you can get on Southwest, you can do it, but then you can get a refund if there's spaces available on the plane already, right?
If there's spaces available, or let's just say you thought maybe you were bigger than you realized. Mm-hmm. So you buy two seats and you get on, you figure you can fit in one seat.
Yeah.
And you're totally fine. Then you can request a refund, but you have a time frame, like within 90 days to request that refund.
Okay. And I think I see here what it said. If the passenger bought the extra seat in advance, they could request a refund after travel.
Right.
And some of them were granted even on sold out flights. So this is some of the current stuff, right? And open seat allows that. But now the new policy with assigned seating, you got to buy it. You can't just wait, because you could also wait currently till you get there and go, I think I may need an extra seat, right?
Right.
But now you have to do it at booking.
Well, they want you to do it at booking. If you try to do it when you get to the gate and say, I think I need to buy an extra seat, it may cause you to have a delay, because they might not be able to put you on that flight that you had already booked. They might have to put you on another flight, because what if that one is sold out? So there is no extra seat to be able to give you.
Right.
So now you have to wait till the next flight. If you choose to do it last minute, but if you do it at the time of booking, it's fine, which is crazy, because you figure a $300 Southwest ticket from Austin to, let's say, Houston. Now you're actually paying $600 up front.
Hey, I'm jumping on the bus instead. Greyhound, here I come. here's the interesting question about this, though, because I get it. Business-wise, I understand, because the opportunity cost to have two seats filled or taken up is what you miss out if you do it at 1.5. But what if you tell, who is not overly muscular, not overly obese?
You don't have to insult me by saying I'm not overly muscular.
That's not an insult. You're a normal human being.
Call me out. Call me out.
I'm not overly muscular. I'm just saying. we can fit between the two down armrests.
Right.
But if we decided I don't want somebody sitting next to me, can I buy those two seats?
Well, technically, yes. I mean, you could buy every seat in a movie theater and sell it out and just sit there by yourself if you want to. Yes, you could do that.
As a whole, you like this new policy? It doesn't sound like it's much changing to it. Just except you gotta pay for it in advance. You can't wait till you get to the airport and see if the flight's gonna be full or not. Yeah. You just gotta buy it.
I'll be honest and say that this particular policy, I don't have an opinion about, because it doesn't impact me.
So I'm
not in that situation.
Yep.
So all the other airlines are doing it. I think people that are larger are used to this. They've just probably been relying on Southwest because they're most lenient. But it's not a new concept to them. I still don't like the fact that they're doing assigned seating and charging for bags. Those were the two main reasons I flew Southwest all the time. No assigned seats, bags fly free. So now I don't mind I'd rather them pay for the bags and let me still sit wherever I want. Like the one policy I don't want them to have changed is the assigned seating piece. I hate that.
I will say there was a time when I would tell you, come on over to the dark side of Delta. However, these so-and-sos have started charging for bags too. I can't get mine free anymore. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You know what? This is the economy.
Well, they're trying to recoup all that money that they lost during the pandemic.
Yeah. We knew that was going to happen, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point.
Money back at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. Well, look, good luck on travel this holiday season and even beyond, because, you know, I got to do some traveling this holiday season too. I'm definitely not looking forward to it. But if you are and you agree, it's okay. Comment below. If you are squashed up against the window, you should get some compensation and not just a free drink ticket.
You know, so I'm not traveling at all this holiday. In fact, I'm not having to go anywhere. My parents will be on a cruise and my brother's going to be in the UK. So,
lucky you.
I may just be at the house with just my little tree here with no lights on it.
and some, you know, no crawfish boil because it's out of season. You know, something big dropped on Netflix earlier this week, and I was a little excited for it. Mm-hmm. And you could tell the country, the world was excited for it, because even Good Morning America had Fitty. Had Robin Roberts call him Fitty on Good Morning America. Had him on there to talk about The Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it? Did you learn anything new by watching it?
So, yes, I watched it. I've been waiting for it to come out. And I did learn some new things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people that I wasn't aware of what they went through. Mm-hmm. just hearing some of the firsthand experiences of some folks, the big thing I learned from it is that there were a lot of people around him that allowed this stuff to happen, including people that spoke on the reckoning. It's like you were on board with all this stuff while you were getting paid. Like I did. So it made me, and it's not like this was my aha moment, but from money just is the root of all evil, and people will sell their souls.
It's the love of money.
For something, right? I mean, they'll just sell their soul for it. You'd be okay with all these things happening. And we've seen it with every artist that, we do. R. Kelly had a team of people that helped him pull off all the things he pulled off. All those people are trash, in my opinion, too. Mm-hmm. But some of these folks that in this Diddy deal, but also just I learned a lot more about how crazy this dude is. Like, he is out there. And you understand how he got to it. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't make it any better, but man, that dude was a menace.
They did a great job of storytelling in this.
Yeah.
And very, very intentional in putting the very same copy at the start and the end of every episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I was like, when they showed it back in the second, I was like, wait, did I just... Okay, no, second episode, so I was like, am I back on episode one? Oh, no, oh, okay. Very intentional in the way they did it, right? A couple of things I would say too, though. It's like, for me, when you know the end result and you go back and see things, it's kind of like when we do these reality TV dating show recaps. We watch it once just to watch it, then go back and take notes on it. And you see things that you missed the first time. And there are things that now, especially after the trial, you go back and see certain things. And I saw it during the trial too. When Diddy got that Lifetime Achievement Award, and he shouted out Cassie, that is what literally kind of started everything, this ball rolling, if you go back and look at it. When you see that now, knowing what we now know, you see the intention, which in the moment, we're just like, oh, it's crazy. Do you think maybe that's something that people in the moment were just going, oh, he's just being crazy. Oh, that's just the way the industry is. Oh, that's just what rich people do. And that may be why. Because now when you look back and you know all the details, you see him and you see his reactions, even in that daytime talk show when his mom said she worked late nights, the look on his face, that was not of a happy man. But when we probably saw it live, we were probably thinking, oh, he just feels uneasy.
Yeah.
But knowing the character behind him now, or seeing that character behind him, do you look at that differently? And you think maybe that's what kind of, glossed over everybody, and that's why they missed that while it was happening.
Well, I do look at a lot of those things differently now. At least knowing what I know now, I do look at them differently. Because so many people in the industry knew what he was about. So many people in the industry knew about the freak offs. They knew about a lot of stuff. It's just in the industry, they kind of covered it up and didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And so he's out there, these award shows, there's people in that audience that he negatively impacted, that he actually assaulted, sexually assaulted. And
allegedly.
They're there. Allegedly. Mm-hmm. They're there. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a rubbing it in their face.
Yeah.
Type of deal. You know what I mean? And then the narcissism, of him having to be on, as Suge said, all the videos, rapping on all songs.
Or because I thought that before too, until you get into the books, because Kirk Burrows gave us a lot of insight, and the fact that he paid himself to be all on the songs,
right,
all on the video, all that was a paycheck.
Right.
He charged every artist for that, which on the business side, was that good business on his part?
Well, it depends on the artist. I think if there was an artist that needed that bump to be able to sell the record, great.
He didn't have that at first, though. He was on there from the beginning with all of them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But did Jodeci need him? No. Did Mary J. Blige need him? No. Did Craig Mack need him? No.
Actually, they paid him to build up his name, because him being on those records is what people knew his name. nationally, because I mean, where he was in New York and VA, they knew him for throwing those parties. But nationally and internationally, people knew his name because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So they paid him to make him famous.
I guess. I'm just saying, I think it's interesting how he did it. And you talk about the books, how he manipulated a lot of artists. You know, you had, I forget her name, the girl that joined Danity Kane.
Dawn.
No. I'm sorry. The two girls, the two black girls. I forget what the name of their group was. Yeah, Dirty Money. Mm-hmm. She said that she had less than 24 hours to sign.
No. That's for making the band. That was the band, and that was Babs.
Babs, yeah. But she like, so you're giving them a contract, and you got 24 hours. You need to sign this now. Compared to, hey, this is on the up and up. Have your lawyers look at it. Da da da. Now here's the crazy part. She did have her lawyer look at it. She did have her lawyer, and her lawyer said, "Look, here. Basically, he's promising you fame, but not fortune." And what did she say? I signed.
Yeah. So I thought what you were about to say was the sickest part of that was the very next scene. He's like, "All right, y'all sign. I hope you had your lawyers look at it and you read the fine print, because you can't. Once you're in, you can't get out.
Yeah. Once you're in, can't get out."
And then he laughed at it, but that was the truth.
Right.
But that's no different in the industry. That's no different with any other contract.
Yeah.
He's not the first person to do that with terrible contracts. He's not the last.
Right.
And that's where, is that the bad part? For those who have no idea what the industry is like, it may seem like that.
Yeah.
But that's not any different than anybody else. Now, the other stuff is a different story. The thing that I think really stood out to me, though, was whatever you do, don't record everything. Because you could tell he didn't think anything was, I'm invincible, nothing's going to happen. I'm going to have you shoot all this stuff so I can show everybody how I beat this, how I talked to the lawyers and we got this together, and how we beat these crazy allegations. Mm-hmm. It backfired in this sense. But even you saw when they were talking to the lawyers coming up with strategies like, hey, no, don't record this.
Yeah.
If he was producing it, that would have never made the cut. And of course, he's not the one producing it, so it made the cut.
Of course. Now I wonder how 50 got all this information. So that's interesting. But the evil of Diddy, in my opinion, is the fact that he put Bad Boy 75% in his mom's name, 25% in the other dude, but his name isn't on it because he didn't want people to come after him for a wrongful death suit for that party he had at that high school, where people got trampled and died. He didn't want to get sued.
At a city college. It wasn't high school, city college.
City college. Yeah.
Okay. Now they tell us that's why, right? They say that. And again, we're taking their word as to why that happened. There are a lot of people who do business on a higher level that don't have stuff in their name.
Okay.
I'm not defending him. I just want to be sure that as we kind of look at it, it's not like, I think some of the business decisions he made, as bad as they may look, a lot of businessmen do that. And I don't want to sound like a lot of these people on social media who are victim blaming Cassie that did it during the trial.
Yeah.
Did it after this, even on the back end of this, they were doing it on in the back end of the documentary, they showed it. But even also past that on social now, people are still bashing her or even bashing 50, saying he's just trying to tear another black man down. I don't care what color you are. I don't care your relation to me. If this is the kind of stuff you did, to your point, and you haven't said it yet today, but I know you and I've talked about it enough times, to your point. I only needed to see one video.
Right.
And I was done.
Yeah. 100%. So all I needed was that one video. To me, it doesn't matter. If everyone else is lying, let's say everybody's lying.
Mm-hmm.
All I saw was that video of him dragging and kicking Cassie. Done. Any man that does that, I got no respect for you. I don't need anything to do with you. But again, that's my frustration, is that all these other so-called men that were around, security, whatever, just allowed all this stuff to happen. I don't know about you. I just couldn't be comfortable being in that situation where I'm like, oh yeah, she's getting beat over there, but I'm ordering some DoorDash. Y'all want anything? And just totally ignore what's going on in the other room. I couldn't function that way.
Nah. Yeah. But you know what? Not everybody's built the same. So yeah.
Well, money. But I will, the one thing I did like that Diddy, that 50 Cent did, because 50 Cent's really petty when it comes to Diddy. And we've seen it on Twitter and all that stuff. I thought this documentary was done really well. It wasn't anything that was too graphic. If you look at the trial with Cassie, I mean, that was very graphic.
Yes.
This wasn't at all. It was respectful to Kim Porter. It was respectful to just a lot of the women involved. And it wasn't so much 50 Cent having to talk trash. Everyone else did it for him. Now, the only one I didn't get was the little Rod.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that one. Because he was there, he realized he's waking up, and sometimes he'd wake up, not know what happened the night before, and there's girls in the bed. Then he'd also wake up, not know what happened the night before, and Diddy's in the bed. And he would be sore, not know why he's sore. I'm thinking, at that point, you should have got out. If I stay at anybody's house, at anybody's house, I wake up and I'm sore and there's some dude laying next to me, I'm never going to that house again. We're excommunicado.
The whole I'm sore. What do you think? I had Taco Bell last think? I had Taco what, Bell last what? Night.
I'm sorry. What do you think? You're not pledging a frat. That's not why you're sore. You're sore because things happen to you. But like, I didn't understand why he still stayed beyond that. And that one lady, KK, at that point, she took over.
Assistant?
Her,
yeah.
Yeah, the assistant. And he tries to tell her, and she's like, you know.
It's
even she let it go. She's like, you got assaulted. Everybody does around here. It's totally cool.
Between this one, there was another doc that came out after the trial. And between this one and that one, the last, Little Rod was in the last one too, but he wasn't the last person in it.
Yeah.
The last people in each one didn't have the best stories.
Yeah.
Because the last one was the guy who, the assistant or whatever, and he had a lot of wild stories, but it didn't make sense. And there's some things in this one that didn't make sense, like even the Eric Sermon, you know. Somebody takes a swing at you and you invite them for, come in the car. Let's go around the corner. You go around the corner. And then because he hits play, you're like, oh, damn, this Biggie album's off the chain. I'm not going to whoop your ass again.
I was about to fight you, but that beat go hard.
So, you know, okay. But interesting, entertaining, a good watch. If you had to rate it, scale of 1 to 10, where would you put it?
I'd put it about a 9.
About a 9? I'm about there, about 8.59, yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it. There's not a whole lot of new, but there was a new perspective.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of details they could have gone into that they didn't. They could have made this a 6-part series if they really wanted to. They didn't make it 4 episodes. That be it. But you know what? Fitty, we appreciate you putting this out because you gave us something else that we can all watch and all talk about.
Yeah.
Now, something else that a lot of people are talking about. I am not sure about this, so I'm just gonna play it here for you and see what you think of this young lady.
I don't like men that only spend money on me when they're in my presence. This guy just called me and asked me what I was doing tonight and if I wanted to go out. I don't have an issue with going out tonight. I'm dressed. I'm about to go out with my friends. My issue is he's only gonna spend money on me if he's there. Because he's always just trying to like, he's always like, are you hungry? Do you need anything? All this stuff. But if I ever say I'm hungry, he wants to pick me up and take me to dinner. Just send me the money. And it's the same thing for tonight.
First of all, stop banging on the table. You know your phone's there. We can hear all that crap.
See, I look at these things as rage bait. Because I can't imagine somebody would make a video like this and be serious. But then again, now that I think about it, I do watch Ready to Love. I've seen some things.
A man want to date me, he gotta have some money.
This is just insane right? This is just insane, that thought process.
Yeah.
That she has. And that's pretty privileged. Pretty privileged makes you do that type of stuff. You just think you're too cute that you can get away with that type of stuff. And their problem is there are dudes who just be like, all right, I'll just Venmo you some money.
$180.
$180.
Here's the thing about this, though. It's like, and I get your point, because I do believe this was set for clickbait as well, too. But the mindset is not clickbait.
Right.
Because how many women have you known, spoken to, and have said at some point in time, yeah, they went to the club and they didn't want the guys to buy them drinks, but you ain't got to stay here and talk to me. I won't talk to you. Is that not the same thing that she's saying? I mean, because if you go to the club and you're like, well, I'm not bringing any money because guys are going to buy me drinks. And when they buy you drinks, they're like, yeah, now shoe fly, don't bother me. Mm-mm. Is that any different from this?
Yes, it's very different from that because I don't know you. I'm just walking up, can I buy you a drink? You're like, sure, I don't want you to stay here and drink it with me. But yeah, buy me a drink. She's dating somebody that she's gone out with. And now so he's trying to show his interest. Hey, are you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. Great. I'll pick you up. Let me take you out to, what's that, Nabu? What's the place you keep?
Nobu.
Nobu. Let me take you to Nobu.
But Nabu is about what she said. Nabu. Yeah, huh?
Nabu. Just give me the money, and I'm going to go to Subway and get a sandwich, but I'm going to pocket this $100.
Yeah.
Right? I'm only going to spend 10. That thought process just makes no sense, and he's trying to get to know you. But I think girls that, let me say, women that have that thought process, it's because they don't care about having a guy that respects them, cares about them. They're just looking for a lifestyle. They're looking for somebody that has the kind of money that's going to blow on them. So they don't want that type of connection. And there are some dudes who would do this. You got to figure, dudes that make that much money, that just got money that you can just piss away.
Mm-hmm.
You'll date a girl like this in a heartbeat. Yeah, I'm just going to send her some money every week or two. And when I have time, we'll go out. She might sleep with me once a month because I'm so busy. I'm traveling.
Is this more for clout? Just to say, yeah, girl, he sent me this, you know, because there's that part of it too.
Well, that's a good question because I would have more concerns with her friends if they're like high-fiving her for that. So like, for example.
Oh, you know they were.
Well, but I'm just saying, if I know a dude, right? It's like one of my boys I hang out with. He's like, yeah, man, I met this female. I had a barber that would talk like this. Yeah, I got this female. Like she took me here. She bought me this. She pays this. And I'm looking at him like, why? You know? And so he was a gigolo type of dude. Like he
said, because I give her the dude.
Yeah, he would just scam. And I asked him, I said, can I ask you a question? And hopefully you don't get offended. You have a daughter. How would you feel if dudes did this to your daughter?
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, she's got to make her own decisions. I was like, yeah, dude, like we can't, like you can cut my hair for a little bit longer, but we can't be, I couldn't hang out with him. So like, I would not associate myself with dudes who do that, who like use women for money. You can't be my friend if that's what you're doing. So I think for these ladies, if you have a friend in your clique that is like this girl and you're high-fiving her, yeah, girl, get that money. And all y'all are wrong.
And you think about it. What she said at the end of this video was that, you know, and I know that he will pay for the guy, even pay for the guy that's going out with us tonight. So she's going out with her girls and a guy. And she wants this other guy to pay for it. But here's the thing. And this is the part where when we talk about these videos that are probably more clickbait than anything, it's the same thing. And she brings something else into this, which is, if your girl is going out with her girlfriends, are you supposed to pay for her and her girlfriends on this girl's night out?
No.
If only you go out, you see them in a restaurant, do you pay their bill or you pay her portion of the bill?
No. The only way I would do something like that, if it was my girl's birthday.
Right.
I'm like, babe, where do you want to go? And like, who do you want to bring? She brings four of her girlfriends, close friends. And I'm like, hey, babe, I got it.
Yeah.
You know, because this is your
but don't day. Tell them till the bill comes because these going to drink everything.
No, you tell them early. You tell them early. Be like, hey, I know you want to get that New York strip, but that salmon, $32? Compared to that New York strip, that's 60?
No, if they think they're paying for it, they're going for the salmon.
No, well, if they're paying for it, yeah, they're going to get the salmon.
Yeah, but, so you let them think they're paying for it till the end.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the only time that I would do something like that. But, you know, each their own, man. That still blows my mind that people do it. People are out there like that.
Exactly. From this point on, everybody 50-50.
Okay.
No? Okay. I haven't dated in a while.
That won't work either, but I'm not. Don't send me a mass text asking for $300 for a massage.
Hey, Josie. I mean, Terrell.
Hey, boo.
Hey, big head.
Hey y'all.
Oh my God. Hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Do us a favor, please hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And please hype this video.
Yes, you know, please.
Do like this on the comment thing and then hit that hype button. We appreciate you. It really does help. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, at RGRT Pod, and on IG at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit from the internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
We've been running this banter since way back in school, where the dorm room debates turn the cool in the rules. Talking loud about the world like we're changing the game, but it's just us two, yeah. Two sides of the same. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Sports got us heated, yeah, the refs missed the calls. Politics, man, we'll argue till the walls fall. Pop culture don't get us started on trends, but the laughter, my dude, that's where it all ends. You say tomato, I say nah, bro, it's time motto. You think we clashing? Nah, it's the dance of bravado. No winners, no losers, just stories to share. So pass me that bottle and pull up a chair.
Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. Pull up a chair for the truth, let it spin. Two regular guys with the world to dive in. We don't need to agree, just let the talk flow. The vibes and the rhythm, the rest we let go. When the convo's done and the bottle runs dry, we'll toast to the clash, to the lows and the highs. Two voices, one friendship, no need to compare. So come as you are and pull up a chair.